Good morning, Duke Dance. Dal Erickson with you live on the SBI Radio Network and First Bank Sports Friday. Joining us live now over the phone is Cody Tucker from 7220sports.com. Hey, Cody, how are you today?
Hey, Duke, Dal, how are you guys? How are things up in the valley?
Cold and snowy, but, you know, I guess that's just how it is. Cody, I do have to say... what else is new? I do have to say that was... It was a coincidence, this the ad and the sweeper that was playing were... Just like everybody else, we're trying to fill time with no sports, and so we have kind of gone back into our video annals and done what we consider to be classic games, and the one this week is the 2016 semifinal football game between Star Valley and Douglas, and that was... You were there for that one. Anyway, it's just a coincidence is what I'm saying. We weren't like...
We're not trying to
Star Valley ran for about 500 yards that night.
We're not trying to pour salt in the wound.
Yeah, I'm just saying it was a coincidence is what we're saying.
We're not backing away from it either.
Yeah, Star Valley looked like men among boys that night, man. Douglas was scoring at will, but Star Valley just controlled the ball and just plowed the road, man. They had some big kids on that team.
Cody Tucker joining us, and again, Cody is the founder of 7220sports.com. And Cody, we wanted to talk to you about the NFL draft and specifically Wyoming's Jordan Love, and understand that you're actually with Logan Wilson. I was looking down the sheet and I totally read the wrong name. Logan Wilson, Wyoming's Logan Wilson. I understand you've actually spent some time with Logan, and he's hoping to go possibly today, if not tomorrow.
Yeah, today's an exciting day, guys. I'm actually going to be heading from Cheyenne up to Casper here in a couple hours and spend the day with Logan and his family. They've been nice enough to let us come up there and kind of document the day and what this is like. And man, there's a lot of talent still left on the board, but everybody's pretty confident Logan's going tonight. We had him on our podcast for about an hour Wednesday. And, you know, he's not sure where he's going. He sure hopes it's the Denver Broncos, and selfishly I do too. But it's going to be a fun day, and it's so great when you get to see local Wyoming kids like this. You know, you saw how the state rallied behind Josh Allen. I mean, Josh is a quarterback and went seventh overall, of course, but this guy's from Casper, and, you know, that just means more to people here in the state. So really excited to be there with him and his family and document his special day.
I've mentioned this several times. You consider how much Logan has grown in the last 5 to 6 years. It really is incredible. He was an undersized safety coming to Laramie, and then now he's a 250-pound juggernaut going to get picked in the first, you know, 100 picks or less in the NFL draft. It really is an amazing story.
You know what's funny, Dahl, is I interviewed Logan before the border war this year, and he said, you know, I didn't get many opportunities out of high school. You know, Weber State wanted him. And Harvard, because, you know, he does have a good brain on him, too. But the funny part is CSU actually offered him a preferred walk-on to become their place kicker. And it's just kind of hilarious to see. And you know, all the impressive stats he put up in his career in Laramie, you know, he's happiest about 4-0, which was his record against Colorado State. So we got to see him in this state. We got to see him grow right before our very eyes, and just his selflessness and his hard work and his blue collar attitude. And, you know, and of course he tops that off with that Wyoming state flag headband, and everybody's just putty in Logan Wilson's hands. And what a great kid. And somebody's going to get a really great player and a really great person.
You know, what's interesting is one of the questions that was, you did a question and answer with him on Facebook for about an hour, and folks can still go and watch that, correct, online if they missed it?
Yep, you can go to our Facebook page of 7220 Sports, yep.
And I encourage people to do that. There's a lot of good stuff there, a lot of great questions from the listeners, and one of them was, it's like, hey, you're going to keep wearing the Wyoming do-rag in the NFL, which would just absolutely ignite Wyoming fans. They would love that. And he's like, well, I don't know. He's like, I don't know the rules. But it sounds like he would if he could, so I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no, but like we talked about in the Q&A, you know, it would be great. I think there's a few people in this state that might pay his fines every week. And also a fan suggested maybe he gets it tattooed on his forehead. He didn't sound like he was – he sounded like he thought about that for about a second.
Anything tattooed on your forehead is probably not a great idea.
Agreed.
You turn into Mike Tyson real quick.
Yeah, or maybe Charlie Manson. Yeah, not very many good characters have tattoos on their face.
Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. Cody, one thing that you've done really well is kind of dig into the behind the stories and the history. And Dow kind of alluded to Logan's story, but you know, when you look through the history of the University of Wyoming football program, you know, there's just a handful and a group of people that have been drafted in the first 3-4 rounds of the NFL draft, and then you go even further than that and say how many of those grew up in Wyoming and played their high school ball in Wyoming and are actually Wyoming born and bred kids. And so, you know, Logan's not only just joining that group of Wyoming University of Wyoming athletes to go pro, but to be a Wyoming kid all the way through.
Yeah, and it's really cool because that's not lost on him. And a lot of these kids nowadays, I notice, aren't as interested. You know, a lot of them aren't as interested in the history of the guys who came before them. And not to throw anybody under the bus or anything, but I remember specifically talking to Elijah Halliburton, Wyoming's senior safety, and he's one of my favorite players of all time in Laramie. But you know, he didn't have a clue the type of safeties that have come through that school and the type of safeties that had nice NFL careers like John Wendling and Chris Brzezinski and guys like Al Rich, who probably should have been in the NFL if not for injuries. And obviously Andrew Wingert and Marcus Epps, a couple of recent safeties he knew about. But Logan Wilson, it's not lost on him at all. Alan Griffin was the last one out of Casper to go from the University of Wyoming and be a Wyoming native. And he went to Kelly Walsh. So, you know, that's not lost on Logan, and that's something I really respect about him, is he really cares, and he really cares about, you know, he knows what this means, and it's not lost on him one bit that this is a really, really big deal. And that, you know, look at all the Buffalo Bills fans all of a sudden. Yeah. I mean, no matter where Logan goes, you know, people are going to have a second team again, maybe even a third.
Cody, obviously you followed this about as close as anybody. I'm going to put you on the spot here, and I'm going to make you a prognosticator. Let's assume Logan is being picked tonight in the second round. Let's say it happens tonight. What team is he going to in the second round, in your opinion?
You know, guys, I'm a little I don't know if it's going to be the second round because, you know, last night there's a lot of really good, talented players still left on the board. It's amazing how many guys are left that didn't get selected last night. And that's not to say Logan's not one of them, because he could have snuck in last night as well. But, you know, selfishly, like I said, I'd love to see him in Denver, and I know he would too. But for some reason, I keep thinking about the darn Patriots of all teams. He just seems like, you know, a guy that would fit that mold of a guy who's just who's addicted to football, because the Patriots, a lot of those guys talk about how many wins they've had and all the championships they've had, but it hasn't exactly been fun up there, you know, in Foxborough. But, you know, winning cures all. But Logan's one of those obsessed guys with the game, and he's not going to give you anything off the field, you know, any troubles. He's going to be buried in the playbook and buried in the film room and be a great teammate and a great, you know, just a great player. So I keep thinking, man, Bill Belichick's got to love this guy, and I know the Patriots have talked to him.
Well, didn't John Keim, he was on our show last week, he covers the Redskins for ESPN. He actually tweeted a photo to Dow of Belichick watching Logan during some pre-draft workouts.
Oh, really?
So he's seen him. We know he's seen him. He
strikes me as a Belichick kind of guy. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm crazy, and I would rather not see him in New England, but for some reason I keep thinking Patriots.
I get a lot of people actually might start to like New England again now that Brady has moved on to the Buccaneers. I guess we'll see what happens there. But,
I wouldn't mind seeing him with your Redskins either, man. The NFC East has been very interested in Logan. I know the Cowboys had an informal, Eagles. That was the only trip he was able to make, was to go to Philadelphia before COVID-19 hit.
The other thing I wanted to touch on you with last night was I wanted your opinion on Jordan Love to Green Bay, because to me, this gobsmacked me that here you still have Aaron Rodgers at the end of his prime, a chance to get him some weapons, and you go and you basically say, no, we're going to go get your replacement. I was shocked by that.
I was stunned too, Dahl, and the fact that Green Bay traded up to get him too. I tell you what, if I'm the New England Patriots, speak of the devil, I'm calling Green Bay to say, what's it going to take to get that number 12? You know, man, I was shocked. I was stunned. I didn't think, you know, I guess I wasn't as overly impressed with Jordan Love. He didn't have a great senior season. And then, you know, to end, or junior season, I should say, he, you know, and then it didn't end real well in Logan. He got caught with, you know, a failed drug test, I believe. And then he, you know, he didn't show up really, you know, in the bowl game. Didn't look good. Didn't look like the effort was really there. And, you know, I had some guys yesterday comparing. I was on a radio show yesterday, and they were comparing him to Josh Allen. And I'm thinking, whoa, whoa, whoa.
I think that's lazy comparison, guys. Honestly.
Yeah, yeah. That's just, you know, Josh has that competitive desire. He's not going to go out and lay an egg, stuff like that, you know, and it's just, it's weird. It's very, it was very weird. I didn't think Green Bay would be the team to do that. I don't think anybody did. But, you know, is anybody more shocked than Aaron Rodgers today? He's got to be thinking, what in the world is going on right here? Because you draft a guy in the first round and you move up to get him, you know, that guy's going to play sooner rather than later.
Cody, we wanted to look around other places around the Mountain West this morning as well. And there's always little rumblings here and there about what BYU may do and if they're going to rejoin the Mountain West or do this or that. But it's surfaced again, and a lot of people saying if they're going to do it, now's the time. What do you think about BYU rejoining the Mountain West, and is that a possibility?
Yeah, it's kind of funny, guys. When I read that story in the Utah paper, I put it on Facebook, and I put a poll up saying, do you want BYU back? And Wyoming fans, you know, were pretty much, you know, absolutely not. But then when the final voting came in, it was they actually would like to have them back. So it's kind of weird how that works. But I think BYU tried the independent thing. I think they were embarrassed by their twin brothers over there in Salt Lake City who went to the Pac-12, and they wanted to get on that gravy train too, and the gravy train never left the station. So I think I said it earlier this year, I think within a couple of years, BYU will be back. I talked to Wyoming's athletic director, Tom Berman, about it. He said they absolutely would be welcome back, but no special concessions whatsoever. And as you see, the Mountain West is cracking down on Boise State, too, when it comes to special concessions. So, and Boise State, I think they don't really have a leg to stand on anymore like they used to. You know, they were about to bolt for the Big East, which is no more. I don't know who they're planning on bolting for now, but I think BYU coming back into the fold, too, would also possibly keep Boise State, you know, at bay a little bit. And obviously BYU, you know, the hatred for them is unbelievable in the state, but they, you know, you can't deny the national brand, and you can't deny, you know, what they would bring back to the conference. And the old rivalries would be great. And, you know, usually I'd be totally against this, but, you know, BYU scheduling nothing but Mountain West teams right now anyway. So even Wyoming's coming up on the future schedule. So, you know, if they're going to schedule them and Mountain West teams are going to oblige them, you know, come on back and let's get some more money coming into the conference and see where the Mountain West can grow. Because I feel like there might be a Power 6 kind of situation right now if we still had TCU, Utah, BYU, Boise State. You know, we might be talking Power 6, not Power 5. I think the Mountain West was really trending that way.
You know, one thing I noticed in the tone of that article is from the Deseret News was it wasn't even really a should we do this. The guy who wrote it was basically saying, please take us back. It was this didn't work. Please take us back. Now, granted, a lot of the comments and a lot of the fans obviously don't agree with that tone. But I was struck by that. I was struck by the idea that the writer was like, nope, this is what needs to happen. Mea culpa, please take us back.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dahl. I think they did. And I think right now it's just, you know, the BYU fans were kind of promised, you know, something different, that this was going to be a really good decision. And it just hasn't turned out that way. I mean, they're playing UMass, you know, in November, and they're playing Idaho State and those kind of teams, and they, you know, scheduling's hard, and BYU's still a place where teams don't want to go. You know, I spent the last couple of years at Michigan State covering the Spartans, and the Spartans are actually making that trip to Provo this year, and talking to guys inside that program, even 2 years ago, they were already thinking, why did we make that deal? Why in the world are we going to Provo, Utah? So, you know, but BYU is going to have more and more trouble, and they win those games in Provo, teams are really not going to come there. So the scheduling is going to get harder. you know, the TV contracts might not be as big. You know, they're not Notre Dame. That's all there is to it. You know, Notre Dame's a brand of its own that can carry itself, and BYU just doesn't have that. I mean, is BYU TV even in HD yet? I haven't noticed. So
I guess I don't know.
I think they had bigger dreams, and it just didn't happen. And the Pac-12's not interested. You know, the Pac-12's not exactly known for having religious institutions. And the Big 12 is kind of the opposite of those kind of institution. So, you know, I don't know where they're going to go unless they stay independent forever, which it's obviously not going very well.
Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. Cody back with the University of Wyoming, Coach Linder, and the Wyoming Cowboys. He has yet to coach a game or practice or anything, but he's getting some high praise for his first recruiting class, both with the incoming freshmen and the transfers.
God, how impressive has that guy been, man, and his staff? It just seems like they're pushing all the right buttons. So sometimes, you know, and I think Dahl knows this, I got to stop and hit pause and go, are things really this good, or have things just been really this bad that it looks this good? And, man, he just, you know, you got to think about it, guys. He didn't step foot in one living room. He didn't shake hands with one mom and dad, not one, you know, none of that. And he did all of this over the phone. He did this all old school. You know, pulling Marcus Williams, for instance, out of Houston, I think he's going to be the steal of this thing. Really good guard, one of the top guards in the state of Texas. And, you know, he staggered it perfectly by picking up an Owen Nelson and picking up a Drake Jeffries out of the JUCO ranks. So they have a couple years. Then he's got, you know, Drew Lamont also out of the JUCO ranks. And he staggered it with freshmen. He staggered it with a couple of JUCO guys. Some have 2 years left. Some have three. It was just, not to mention the most underrated part of it maybe is that he got Quan Marble and Kenny Foster to come back, as well as Hunter Maldonado and Hunter Thompson. So I called it in my column an absolute coup, and I think that's what they did. They just, to have the number one recruiting class in the Mountain West is nothing short of unbelievable, considering what this program has been through and considering what the AA has looked like for the last 3 years.
Cody, thanks so much for your time. We always appreciate the insight.